Great to have you here, man.
John, it's terrific to be here. Great to see you as well.
All right. Here we go. Let me just move this out of the way. Hello and welcome to Morning Fuel. I am your host, John Bundy, and you are here because you believe in the power of the spoken word and its ability to change lives, and that by sharing our stories, we can help others to overcome challenges that they cannot overcome on their own. Whether it's a victory you need to win in business or in your own personal life, you understand that answers can be found in listening to others who are willing to share their stories, knowing that their story ultimately doesn't belong to them. All right, today's guest is a maestro in the art of career transformation and personal fulfillment. Armed with an impressive array of titles such as Human Resources Leader, Employee Relations Leader, Career Transition Coach, Rotarian, and much more, he stands at the forefront of guiding individuals toward not just a job, but a calling. Imagine being adept at navigating the complexities of human resources, managing the well-being of up to 3,400 team members, all while coaching future entrepreneurs on the journey to business ownership. This is the daily reality for our guest, whose purpose in life is to help people find career fulfillment. How does one person achieve such a monumental task? Through a blend of expertise as an HR director, manager, business partner, and especially as a business ownership coach. He dives deep into the aspirations, talents, and lifestyle desires of each individual, acting as a business matchmaker to connect them with their perfect entrepreneurial opportunity. His unique approach has lit the path for countless individuals to step into the realm of self-sufficiency and realize their dreams of business ownership. And remarkably, his guidance comes at no cost to those he helps, demonstrating a genuine commitment to their success. But it's not just about the destination. It's about the journey. Our guest's dedication to improving the employee experience and fostering an environment of growth and fulfillment in the workplace showcases a profound understanding of what it means to take ownership of one's career. His contributions to the field are not only recognized through his speaking engagements and authored works, but also in the everyday successes of those he mentors. Today, we have the privilege of diving into the insights and experiences of a visionary who believes in the power of aligning career aspirations with personal fulfillment, a figure who not only talks the talk, but walks the walk, dedicating his life to the service of others' career journeys. Please help me in extending a warm Morning Fuel podcast welcome to the human resources leader, career transition coach, and a beacon of career fulfillment, Rich Salon. Rich, I'm so thankful to have you here, dude.
Thank you, John. And listen, congratulations to you as well. Your show has done some amazing things. I had a chance earlier this week to review some of the previous shows. And some of the commentary by yourself, as well as your podcast guests, of really helping people fulfill their life dreams, fulfill their career dreams, business ownership dreams. Again, great job on your show. You are clearly making a difference out there.
Wow, I appreciate that. And that's our hope. My wife and I, we hope that people will be touched by this. And we know we are. Kind of selfishly started this back in the day, back in 2019, because I needed business help. So I would get business owners on that I looked up to, and then learn from their mistakes and learned a lot of stuff. But thank you so much for that. It's wonderful. Wow. So Rich, I've got this, long list of accomplishments and things that you've done and are doing. But before you started all that, what were you doing? When did you start this, and what were you doing before that? We like the origin story. So when did Clark Kent become Superman? How did that happen?
That's a great question. So I've been in human resources for about 25 years, helping to build leading companies, including the Home Depot and Penske, Lowe's, and Circuit City. And I moved from California all the way to the Richmond, Virginia area, proud resident of Goochland, in 2006 to join the Circuit City corporate HR team. They wanted me here, so I came. It was less than 3 years later that Circuit City declared bankruptcy and ultimately liquidation. The company was going out of business. I was asked to stay on for a bit, and they asked me to close down the distribution centers. They asked me to close down the service centers. They also gave me one very unique assignment. They said, Rich, we want you to kickstart the job search for the 34,000 Circuit City employees.
34,000.
34,000.
Oh, I got that number
nationwide.
Wrong.
No. Your 3,400 number. I led 3,400 people in human resources at the Home Depot.
34,000.
The 34,000 at Circuit City. It's like, wow. I had an opportunity to tell every corporation in America that their responsibility to their employees does not end the day they announce liquidation. Because back then in early 2009, the gold standard was you stood up in front of your employees and you said, we're sorry we're going out of business. Start looking for a new job. And we'll try not to screw up your W-2 form when you get it in the mail next year from us.
Right.
That's all anybody did.
Wow.
So I tried some innovative things that organizations have never tried. I rolled up my sleeve. I put my own job search on hold, and as I would do it again from 34,000 people in a heartbeat. And I tried some innovative things. I didn't tell corporate America that your responsibility doesn't end. I showed them through my actions, through some innovative things that I did. Look, I was named Hero of the Economy that year by CNN. I was interviewed by a potload of news agencies. But I didn't do it for the publicity. I did it for the 34,000 team members, the people that stayed with Circuit City. And for me, what it did, it created a second career calling. I thought I was destined to be Rich the HR guy, corporate human resources leader in mid to large companies for the rest of my career. But for me, it created a second career calling. So beginning in 2009, I began helping people with their job search. And in 2014, people started to ask me, Rich, I'd really like to find a business I can run. And, my knowledge is high, my skills are high, my confidence is high. And Rich, at this point in my career, I would rather bet on myself than bet on another boss. Rich, can you help me? And I had to say, no, I can't. It's not space I played in. By the end of 2014, I came across an opportunity to become a business matchmaker where I can help people become their own boss. And I joined joined a parent organization, and I my business licensee. I work today with about 750 different franchise companies, a terrific mix of brick and mortar franchise businesses and home-based franchise businesses. And I can help them with this. I help them with the selection and through the process to validate a potential business for them to take over. So I've literally become a one-stop shop when it comes to all things careers, because I continue to help people in their job search. I'm very much pro-employment. I help people in consulting. I'm also currently an HR consultant, so I can help them get started. And then on the business matchmaking side, I got access to 750 different companies. So people see me as a one-stop shop for all things careers. And that's important to me because my life's purpose is about helping people and making the world better. And John, today I do that through my leadership roles with Rotary International. When I retire, I will shift those priorities. I will become a wish granter for adults diagnosed with a terminal illness in memory of my mother. But now when people come to me and they want assistance with their career, if it's career search or if it's career growth, I can help anybody. And I've never been stumped yet. And I've never said no. And I've never accepted a nickel from anybody.
That's fantastic. So never accepting a nickel from anybody. How do you make your money? How do you put bread on the table? You've got a family, don't you?
Sure. Thank you. So yeah, I remain active in human resources. I'm for employment, for consulting. The career search and the consulting, get them started consulting. There's no money in it for me. When I do match somebody to a franchise, the franchise organization pays me a referral fee.
Fantastic. I got you. Very cool. So this was a surprise for you in 2014.
Yeah. Well, it was a very, very much a surprise because I had not dabbled in small business at all. I mean, by that time I'd worked for, Penske, Lowe's, Home Depot, Circuit City, big corporate and all in an HR capacity. So the small business concept and the franchise concept, completely foreign to me. But I grew to like the franchise concept, and I'll tell you why. Because you have a business where you don't have to reinvent the wheel. It's already been invented for you.
Right.
It's got the operational systems processes
and all
that
stuff.
It's got all that. It's a business in a box. And if you're passionate and if you're confident in yourself and you understand that you're going to have to, stick out your hand and ask for the sale, it's a great model. It's very popular. It's actually a larger part of our nation's economy than most people give it credit for.
Sure. And small businesses and home businesses are kind of suffering right now from what I see. I mean, what I'm looking at in the media, you see it from a different angle. So you're actually out there in the field. I am a small business owner. My wife and I work together to run Morning Fuel Podcast, and we have since 2019. Most of the time it was a side gig. So I've always had other work on the side to bring home the bacon, but we're trying to make this the bacon bringer. But we are seeing, with taxes and other things, the expense of things, not only, fuel, but other items going up. It's been a challenge. Are you seeing that same thing with the small business owners that you're working with, or are brighter days ahead? I always like to think there are brighter days ahead.
I think so, because I think there's some advantages in portraying yourself and branding yourself and showing who you are. And I think there's some potential low-cost options, like through social media.
Sure.
And telling your story, being authentic. So I think there's some great low-cost options.
Yeah, there are. Fantastic. Okay, cool. So we love to hear, and since 2019, my favorite parts of these interviews are the struggle to success, stories. So we like to call this the what the fail, and that is WTF, what the fail. What failure have you been through, or challenge, or mountain that could have taken you out, but you used it, went around it, went over it, and now you've seen success from after experiencing that. Can you share a story like that with us?
Sure. I was I was happy with my streak of 32 years, never going without a day's pay. Quite happy by that, but all things have to come to an end. And then I found myself unemployed after a large company layoff, unfortunately. But it really gave me an opportunity to reflect. And looking back at the prior 32 years, I found that a lot of the time I traveled more than I needed to. I spent way too many hours working at the extent of being with my children.
Sure.
But the other thing I found that I dedicated way too much time to moving stuff from the inbox to the outbox. And I told myself, on the next employment opportunity I have or anything professionally, I'm going to commit to not moving stuff from the inbox to the outbox. Because not only did I fall into that trap, I see a lot of other people do it. And I continue to do it. That's one of the things that fuels me to help people with their career search or their career growth, because too many people focus on moving stuff from the inbox, the outbox, and they're not default themselves. It's difficult to see what they're doing while they're doing it. It's easy to say, well, just take a step back and are you moving the needle? Are you helping the company progress? It's easy to say, but people have to come up with rhythms. They have to come up with ways to actually do that. I'm a big fan of career fulfillment, like I'm a big fan of family fulfillment, community fulfillment. I'm currently married, marriage fulfillment. I have two children. That's been incredibly fulfilling. And I believe a career shouldn't be wasted. So we dedicate way too much time to our careers. Career fulfillment, I believe, is it's been seen as underrated, but
right.
I think it's critical.
Right. So that contemplation led to you going, okay, now I know. Now, a big deal for me back when I was young were the Saturday morning cartoons, and one of them was G.I. Joe. And at the end of every episode, they had a moral, and the kids would go, "And now I know." And then one of the G.I. Joe characters would say, "And knowing is half the battle." So the other half of the battle is, how do you take that knowledge from the realization, okay, I realize this about myself, what's going on, I want to change that. What was the fuel, the morning fuel? That's what the show is all about. What was the morning fuel that then propelled you and kept you going even through the hard times since then?
Sure. Career fulfillment to me, again, I probably sound like a broken record, but career fulfillment to me is important. And I'd taken it for granted for many, many years. I did important work. I moved the needle. But I don't think I dedicated as much time to advancing my previous organizations. So at the end of every week, I look forward, I ask myself, what did I do this week to make people's careers better? What did I do to increase the level of employee engagement? How did I make my employer better in the past 4.5 days? And if those were not positive responses from myself, I'm gonna determine what I do different the following week. Again, each of us can make a difference. Just sometimes we have to take a step back. And if that's every week, every month, every quarter, look at our objectives, look at our organization's objectives. Are we helping the organization get to where they want to be? Are we helping ourselves, our own career, to where it needs to be?
Right, not just punching the clock, because punching Absolutely. The clock does not lead to career fulfillment.
Absolutely. You've heard the concept of it's just a paycheck job.
Yep.
Oh,
I've had those.
Yeah. And
it was miserable.
Yeah. And I think we dedicate so much time. I estimate 90,000 to 120,000, hours over a course of a career. And to just say, yeah, my current employer, I'm employed, I'm on the payroll. It's just a paycheck job. And they don't have any more feeling or any more excitement.
Right, just living for the weekend.
Exactly. And that might be partly their fault, maybe part their employer's fault. One thing I did in human resources, I reminded people constantly how the work they do helps the company advance. Very, very simple.
Now, the culture that I grew up in was very focused on sharing with me what worked for them. So my dad, my uncles, it was always get the job with the big company that you can work for 24, 25, 30 years, whatever, retire with a pension. And that doesn't exist in our culture any longer. So I was very disillusioned going to work for companies and then either being laid off or just finding like, wow, there's no way this would be suicide for my mind if I stayed with this company for 30 years. I would just die on the inside. I'm a creative person. And most of the time, the entry-level gigs were not creative. No, they were like I did when I went to work for the shipyard, grinding joints. For 12 hours a day. You and I, we met at the Rotary and over in Newport News. Community, I know, is very important to you. It's very important to me. I see you have a couple pins on your lapel, one of them being the Rotary. Will you talk about your involvement in the Rotary and then other organizations you're involved with?
Sure. So I joined the Rotary International Organization 8 years ago, currently a member of the Goochland County Rotary Club just outside of Richmond. And along the way, they asked me to become club president. And then I'm currently an area governor in my fourth year. I'm also responsible for trying to inspire 1,000 clubs from Pennsylvania through South Carolina to create innovative club membership types, because most clubs have two types. And any club out there within Rotary can have an unlimited number of Rotary types. I'm also tasked with opening new clubs in Central Virginia and Southeast Virginia, or more specifically, working with clubs to open up sister clubs. We call them satellite or companion clubs. And it's been a terrific ride. During the pandemic, I was asked to join a project team called Rotary Works. And they learned about my passions for a career transition, so they asked me to join this team. And we were tasked with trying to kind of help the career start for all the Rotarians and Rotaractors from the Caribbean Islands up through Pennsylvania with their career search. So Rotary to me is, they've tapped my passions, and that's career and employee engagement, and that translates to member engagement, the member experience. So it's been a great, it's been a great ride. And along the way, I've been a champion of the eradication of polio. We've eradicated polio to the tune of 99.99% of the world. And in fact,
the Rotary was intricately involved in that, eradication of polio. See, I didn't know that until that first meeting.
Yeah, 1988, Rotary put a stake in the ground and said, 380,000 people were afflicted in the prior year with polio. And this is in the late 80s. This needs to be conquered. And by that time, there's only one disease ever eradicated from the planet, which is smallpox. And so we've gone from 380,000 in 1 year in the late 80s to as few as, I think, 15 cases last year.
Globally?
Globally.
Wow.
We have two more countries we're trying to certify as polio-free. That's Afghanistan and Pakistan. Mm. And we continue to push. We negotiate with the Taliban to let us into the backwoods of Afghanistan to help vaccinate children. So we're on a terrific mission. And along the way, one of our focuses has become clean water. There's 2.2 billion people in the world. One in every four does not have access to clean drinking water. So that's become a big focus. If I had a crystal ball, one of my predictions is we will get deeper into Alzheimer's research because so many people, not just in the United States, but throughout the world, have been affected by family members who've contracted Alzheimer's.
Sure.
So we're doing a lot of great work. I'm incredibly appreciative of Rotary, and my work with Rotary has helped me fashion my ultimate, what will be my legacy. I'm a huge fan of the Make-A-Wish organization. They do some incredible things, granting wishes to people ages 18 and under. My mother passed away when I was a child. So how can I dedicate my time and my efforts to in memory of my mother? And that's why I'll become a wish granter for adults diagnosed with a terminal illness. And I really thank Rotary for helping me create what will be my legacy, and that will be it. Because Rotary is very goal-oriented. I mean, we're so close to eradicating only the second disease in history, and that'll be polio. There'll be a pretty sizable celebration when that happens.
Sure, certainly. Now I see another pin on your lapel there, the orange one with the, looks like an electrical plug. What is that?
So it's my company pin, Business Ownership Connection.
Okay.
It's my brand is orange, and I would tell you that came from my days at the Home Depot.
Right.
And my first book is orange, and pretty easy to guess what color my second book will be.
Right.
It's orange.
I got you.
It's orange. And I'm a connector because I really connect people who want to pursue the entrepreneurial path of careers with an organization where they can join and become the franchisee. So that's my company's logo.
Right, fantastic. And we have a copy of your book right here, which is available.
It's available on Amazon.
Okay, excellent. So before I ask my last question, how can folks reach out to you to make a connection with you? And then also Amazon would be the spot to go and check this out and buy it. Do you have it in audio as well?
I don't have it in audio yet, just okay. Paperback and hardback.
Okay. Well, I know somebody that reads audiobooks for the Audiobook Network, so if you're ever interested, that would be great. But I always listening to books that are read by the author. So, you know, that'd be something I could coach you through if you'd like.
Thank you, John.
So how do folks reach out to you?
So I'm available on LinkedIn. They can look for Rich Salon. I think I'm probably the only one out there.
Yeah, maybe. I looked you up and you came up right away. So
there
yeah.
you go.
Yeah.
Or through Rich at richthehrguy.com. Or I guarantee if you put Rich the HR Guy in Google, I'll come up in a couple of different spots. That's a long-term nickname that I got also when I was with the Home
Fantastic.
Depot.
Fantastic. Well, it could be worse. I've had some pretty awful nicknames in the past. So, all right, last question. Rich Salon, the HR Guy, what do you need most right now?
People to be open-minded about their careers. People tend to focus on their limitations before they look at their capabilities. When somebody is forced into a career search, or they're considering a career search or a career upgrade, the first thing they do is make a long list of things they tell themselves they cannot do. And it's typically a list of about 20, 25. I can't do this, I can't do that. And then now it's time to make the list of things I can do. And that's typically maybe three or four. So I suggest to people, take off the blinders, figure out what your passions are, what's important to you, and also realize your talents and really focus on an intersection of those three. What's important, your talents and your passions, and figure out what you can do before you tell yourself there's something you cannot do.
Fantastic. Well, definitely pick up a copy of Rich's book. I'm about halfway through it, and it is great wisdom for the ages. It's kind of like Proverbs, if you've ever read the book of Proverbs, but for career and HR and stuff like that. And Rich, really appreciate you. Thank you so much for coming on and sharing. And we look forward to hearing about the eradication of polio, and then also your continued involvement in the community, helping people to figure out what fulfills them when it comes to their career.
John, thank you. And thank you for your continued success as well.
Thank you so much. Thank you.